Alright, time for another DraftPhysics.com video presentation. So we'll do some comments, and that'll always lead to something, and that'll lead to something, something, you know. The whole universe will do its thing. One thing will trigger another thing and cause some deformation of a concept, and then that'll cause a reaction that'll be a compensation for the deformation, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, and on it goes. So, what do we need? This. Alright. So, there was one comment on my video. I'm new to this channel. Well, not too happy with that then. What is the question that you think conventional physics proposes that both kinetic energy and momentum are both answers to? So, it's just, you know, you're almost like, oh, come on. This is too pathetic. There's an E, okay, in front of the kinetic energy thing, the formula, 1/2 mv². And the argument is, okay, if you fairly evaluate with any kind of fair logical deduction, that Newton, Descartes, and Galileo, if they had the word energy, they would say E equals mv. Okay, no squared, no half. So, clearly that's the question, the E word, right, the E word. They're both describing, defining what the basic nature of what's swirling around in the universe is. You say there's 1/2 mv² worth of it in the universe, and Galileo, Newton, and Descartes would have said, no, there's just this mass stuff having a velocity, and there's no extra squaring or halving. Okay, there's just mass and velocity. And movement is mass with a velocity. And all that just keeps cycling through the universe. That energy stuff, the force, is just recycled. It just moves from one object to another 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 object. And when it's in certain objects, it doesn't mean it's living force or living energy. It's not all perky, you know, because it's in a small thing going fast. And it's not all depressed and suppressed, and it doesn't just leak out when it's in a big thing going slow. The only difference is that light things going fast can deliver their energy quickly. They can give a lot of it to one object really fast. They're carrying like a $10,000 bill and they can shove it into the other guy's pocket really quickly. Where when you have $1,001 bills, it takes a lot longer to shove the money into the other guy's pockets. You might not even be able to find pockets. It's just a real hassle to transfer 1,000 $1 bills than it is to transfer one $10,000 bill. So fast things can get rid of their energy very quickly. And that makes things more exciting for us little humans looking at things. It's more exciting when things, you know, fly apart superficially quickly rather than methodically and slowly. We don't like methodic and slow. We like quick and exciting. And so we've entirely destroyed rational physics because people like exciting. Yeah. Rather than the truth. So, there's the medium size answer. I could have gone on a bit longer even. Alright. So I guess I'll put some sort of trivial answer on this comment. Like, yes, it's two definitions of an equation. E equals mv or E equals 1/2 vmv. That's the question. That's the paradox. That's the predicament, that's the problem, and it hasn't been addressed in any kind of rational way for over 150 years. Sadly. It was a real argument for 150 years. For 150 years, people really argued about it. They didn't do it very well because there was no court to argue in. So the lawyers just stood up in different countries and threw, you know, tied their paper to a rock and threw it at the other side and said, "See, what about this argument?" But they really weren't very good arguments, okay? But they were made. People pointed out how, well, levers don't work anymore with your silly theory. There's perpetual motion in the universe with your silly theory. You know, they did that kind of stuff. But this didn't work very well. The argument didn't get resolved. And then the fence-walking, mishy-mushy, wishy-washy, poofter-doofter showed up and said, "It all doesn't matter. Let's not argue. Ooh, arguments give me anal twitches. I can't deal with an argument." You know, so all the little whinies showed up and they decided, "Oh, it's just semantics, fellas. You're not really insulting each other. Your mother isn't really fat and ugly." Well, she's just fat and, yes, it is kind of a, you know, I don't know if she's objectively ugly, but yes, well, you know, she's definitely not beautiful. But let's say, oh, it's just semantics. I mean, it's a... If somebody actually could dramatize the truth, it would be a Monty Python skit. I mean, they've totally failed to deal with any of the arguments or to deal with any of the reality. And they're sitting here right now, you know, embracing something that is even, it's so overtly, right from its initiation, it was so overtly ugly as a scientific concept. Here, somebody shows up with the living force. La la la, with little birds flying and little trees. Here's a scientific concept. It makes me happy. It's rainbow fun. I mean, it was, you know, the writing was way already on the wall that this is bullshit. And the human race just rubbed up on it. Oh yeah, I like rainbows too. Rainbows and unicorns are fun. It's a lot better than realizing, oh, I'm just going to horribly die and everything that was meaningful in my life is going to just rot and disappear. Oh, well, no, I don't like thinking that way. Oh, thanks for the question. I mean, I just love people show up and say, "Oh, you've been working on something for 10 years? Well, hey, could you get me up to speed? I don't really want to watch a bunch of videos, you know. Could you just do it all for me? Could you watch the videos for me so I can understand what you're talking about?" I can direct you to the, you know, there is a group of whatever, 20 videos that are of moderate length, 15 minutes or less, and you could watch those. Some of them are linked on this the page on my website, and you know, certainly on the Naked Scientist page. You go to that page, there's like 7 or 8 videos that are really short. All right, anyway. Shit. So now we'll go find a Brozo comment, so this ought to be fun. So I'll pause for that. Ah, now I'm back. It took me a while to figure that out. So anyway, so he makes a couple of comments. So this, you know, it's the troll Farley says, "Are you really that eager to run your channel into the ground? Seriously, math?" Question mark. Yeah, math videos are tedious and not fun. And beyond, you know, some of it's necessary if you're in school or something, so people watch those videos because they have to pass a test or something. But yeah, if people didn't have to pass tests, they wouldn't be the most popular videos on YouTube, that's for sure. And Piero's video is so bad. It's such rudimentary bullshit math. I mean, it's, you know, grammar school math. And it's done so poorly. I mean, he has to erase shit and start over and, you know, just really poorly done math. And then conceptually, I would argue the math is completely wrong in the sense of what you're allowed to do is a math tricks. There's tricks in math. And he performs the trick so badly, you know, that he pulls a dead pigeon out of his sleeve, you know. and a suffocated rabbit out of the hat. I mean, he doesn't even do the tricks well. All right, and so Steven says, I'm interested because I need to learn. But this isn't where you go to learn. You don't go to a Pyrrho video. You know, there's so many mathematical videos on the subject of physics. I mean, there's so freaking many. Why are you choosing Pyrrho? Oh, pathetic. Because I don't want to remain dumb shit or something like that. A dumb shit. Anyway, I'm not proud of my deficiencies. Well, you seem to be, and you seem to think they're all somebody else's fault and all of that kind of crap. Some people appear to be. No, I'm not interested in the sense of being entertained. Well, that's the only value you're going to get out of a Pyrrho video, because he doesn't take anything very seriously. I mean, seriously at all. Okay, although there is a payoff when the penny drops. Well, you should tell me when that happens, and it'll always be just a penny. You're only going to get a penny for that thought. It's only a penny's worth of intelligence that'll ever fall out of Pyrrho's pocket. Ugh. So anyway, so then everybody does a little blah, 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 like this is somehow a subject, and they're already off the subject of the value of poorly done mathematics videos on YouTube. Yes, we need more of that. No, we're all sitting here saying what we need are experiments, and that's the irony of Stephen Bro's next comment. We're all sitting here saying, well, this, there's a truth here, right? I mean, okay, nobody's done this simple little lever argument of, you know, the unequal weights and shoot them in the air and see if you have twice as much energy over here somehow that you can rationalize your description. That somehow it has twice as much energy, even though it keeps losing half its energy every time it falls on the lever and it oscillates. It loses half the energy, and then it gets it back somehow, by some magic, and then it loses it, and then it gets it back, and then it loses it. No, it doesn't. None of that crap happens. I mean, it's nothing to say, really. Seeing as I'm the only person actually doing Gary's draft science proposed experiments. See, and that's just the dodge here, right? He's done a whole bunch of experiments, and he's not showing you, and he's not showing me the results. So just like the people of the 1700s who I ridiculed for doing bad science that he defended, he's just quote mining the experiments to make his points. All right, he's not going to show you where, hey, yeah, it didn't work out the way I thought it would. All right, he's evading exposing his own ideas to the same criticism he'll expose other people's to. I mean, the hypocrisy, the unscientificness of it. So, and we already know that it isn't any apprehension about worrying that he didn't do his experiment properly, because he's clearly very energetic in exposing that himself to that risk. He'll do experiments that are theoretically not capable of producing a useful result because of a deficiency or flaw in the reasoning used to do the experiment. He'll use gravity to push something when you can't do it in that circumstance because it doesn't give equal amounts of momentum. You know, he won't consider the details. You know, rotational energy when you're pushing little skittles or whatever you want to call them. You know, and the fact is that they, like a cue ball on a pool table, you can make the pool ball not roll. It skids across the table. Or you can give it rotational energy. And it'll have a different consequence based on whether you've stored the energy as angular momentum rather than storing it as just vertical, linear momentum. Lots of stuff where you could just point out how he just didn't care, okay, about how valid his experiment was. He even resorted to dropping, you know, different shaped objects. Does one experiment with a certain shape of object to prove a point, and then he changes the shape to do another experiment to show somehow that cornstarch doesn't do the opposite of clay. When, of course, it does. In 99% of cases, it does. He goes out to try to find the one aberrant case so he can make his argument. So it's just a terrible philosophy of science, and yet he sits there and says, I'm the only one actually doing the truth, when no, you're doing propaganda, and you're doing it aggressively and overtly. because your standards are completely different when you're going to be disproven by an experiment or when somebody else is going to be disproven by the experiment. You're just demonstrating your grotesque hypocrisy in, I'll release this experiment, but I won't release this experiment. So apparently he has done the air track experiment. So I'm being harassed to do experiments he's already done. He's already done them, okay? And he either got results that confirmed Lewin or they deny Lewin, right? He's probably done the bang the cart, you know, the spring shooting the cart, you know, with the different masses on the other side. And he's probably found it's exactly what Gary said. Yeah, this cart always leaves with the same velocity. Same compression in the spring, different mass on the other side, same velocity on the other side. He's probably already done this experiment. You know, and here he is haranguing me to do an experiment he's already done. And I don't have an air track. Yeah. You know, just such bullshit. Just absolute, like it's just a huge, one of my primary arguments is there's a million of these air tracks out there, at least 100,000 of them, let's say. All right, in the hands of a bunch of people wearing lab coats and pretending to be scientists. So they have control over this thing. And it's all they're all sitting in some storeroom somewhere doing absolutely nothing. When they could do, they could just spend in one day, they could go through the whole list of meaningful experiments. You know, put a spring on it, no spring on it. Use rubber, use this, use that. Use all these different materials. See what happens when you bang two things into each other. Where does the energy go? How does the energy flow? All of these experiments could be done. They could just be filmed with a little tape measure, and then people who cared could sit there and do the analysis and figure out what the results say. But we don't have that because it's science. Science doesn't do that. Science doesn't provide the data and then allow the data to be scrutinized to see what the value of the experiment is. No, instead, they all squirrel it away. They all hold the truth. Okay, and from anybody seeing it. Yeah, just complete bullshit. Yeah, we don't get the actual data from LIGO. We don't get the actual data from the Hadron Collider. Nobody gets actual anything. It's all mine. You know, and Brozo is pulling the same bullshit. Okay. So let's see. Doing Gary's draft science proposed experiments and desperately, he says, trying to figure out the underlying mathematics. You don't need the underlying mathematics. You know, you just need to know the conclusions of the mathematics. I mean, it's clear what the kinetic energy formula says, okay? All I have to do is put the energy in a lighter object with a higher velocity, and I have more energy. I mean, it's overtly telling you that, quite overtly, that there's something magical about velocity, that velocity is much more important than mass. Okay, $10,000 bills are worth more money than than 10,000 single dollars. Okay, my interest is very real. So again, this isn't about math. It really isn't about math. It's about the physical universe and the fact that this isn't that complicated a subject. And like Galileo dropping shit off the Leaning Tower, you can find out the truth without all of that work. You don't have to do a bunch of manipulation of a bunch of abstract mathematics, you know, to figure out that if I conserve the momentum, I can't have any deformation, because to deform an object, I have to use the momentum to deform it. I have to use the energy it has. It has to lose some of its mass velocity if I'm going to reshape the object. So I obviously can't conserve the momentum and deform. I can't conserve the momentum, it's still moving, and heat the environment. I obviously can't have a bunch of friction and keep my momentum. All of those are illogical, and that's where he first started arguing with me. That's one of the things that got this bug up his ass, is that I took on physics girl who was saying something absolutely preposterous, and he defended it. He thought it was somehow true that you can do things in the universe and you don't have to use momentum. You don't have to use mass and velocity to do them. That somehow that's possible. When, of course, it's not possible. All right. it's not my interest which is lacking. No, it's your integrity that's lacking. I mean, you're just a horrible, awful person. I didn't do anything to you. Okay, I didn't harm you in any real way. You harmed yourself with your own frickin' psychology, all right, and turned me into some sort of monster who did something wrong. I didn't do anything wrong. I've spent 10 hard years working on this, and you don't give me anything for that. You think everything's about doing your silly experiments, when no, what you have to do is a lot of thinking first to even know what experiments to do. I mean, it's just such bullshit. I have come up with at least 100 key ideas that have been ignored by physics for hundreds of years. I've got a real description of why magnets do what they do, a real description of why charge does what it does. I'm answering questions that nobody's come even close to answering, and here you are, giving me an argument about the most trivial errors I have made. Trivial. I mean, I point out, as no one else has, that you can know exactly how many bars are going to be in the double slit pattern, exactly how many, by just figuring how many wavelengths are in whatever you're using as the point sources, whether it's a gap or an impediment, the distance. Once you know how many wavelengths fit inside, you know exactly how many bars are going to be projected on the outside. And it's such simple geometry. And yet, no one else says it, or has said it. And, you know, and then you worry that, oh, well, I got it wrong, that they're not all the same size. You know, because when you have two points like this, okay, the line connecting them to a third point, when they're lined up this way, it takes more distance, okay, to create a distance in the length of the line than when they're this way. Okay, so when they're this way, a tiny change makes a change. When they're this way, not the same. And it's the same as the argument I've made about gravitational waves. It's really the same argument. This is the argument that Einstein played with. You know, what's the difference between two objects being this way, you know, and you're looking at them gravitationally this way versus this way? And there is a slight difference. All right, well, anyway, I don't want to get into it, but it's just, it's insipid. He hasn't in any way damaged the theory, okay, that I've been working on for 10 years, in any way changed the fact that what I have created in terms of a 2 plus 2 physics in describing how the system works. And he's so proud because 3% of the time I've made an error on these trivial details. And they are trivial. It's like I could make 10 arguments pointing out different things they didn't observe about the two-slit experiment. And one of those arguments was flawed. So what? If you started where I started 10 years ago, there was lots of flaws. Okay, it was maybe 70% errors. All right. But the idea was still right. Oh, you're just such a jerk. Anyway, it's my energy levels which are being badly affected by COVID-19. Okay, so apparently he finally got infected by his, you know, by the people he associates with. Not all by choice, I don't imagine, but, you know. And I find it hard to think straight. Okay, so this doesn't have anything to do with anything because, frankly, we already know that you've had months of this. You already know you had the air track for months. And that, you know, you're just playing a game here, again, where you'll release experiments as you choose, okay, for your purposes. So we can't handle the truth. You're going to dish it out to us. You know, kind of bullshit. All right. I find it hard to think straight, so I have to try harder to stay focused and continue doing the arduous task of building experiments that, and building not what Gary says, but what your interpretation of it. So just when me and Steve were colleagues, you know, attempting to find the truth together, all right, he had to control everything, okay? He did everything, okay, without me, you know, it wasn't like I'll consult Gary and see if it's a good idea to spend, $1,000 on hardware or something. And no consulting, no anything. He just did it Steve's way, okay? And it didn't matter what Gary said. So even when he started doing the radar experiment, right? I want to get to the experiment where, you have the receiver in the middle and you just move it between two transmitters. Instead, he does exactly the same experiment the traditionalists do, as if that needs to be verified. When, no, we've already figured out how that's obviously a flawed way to do the experiment. But anyway, that Gary openly declared recently are simply inconvenient for him to do. So we know that I've obviously said more than they're inconvenient. All right. So, yes, I might have included that as one of the words I've used to describe why I'm not the best candidate. Now, I could turn this camera. I have, I basically live in as much space. All right. My life went from I had a little cabin and I had outdoors and I had all kinds of stuff. Right. And my life went to a container, a shipping container. So everything I had collected for 40 years that I could keep had to be shoved in that shipping container. And that's essentially what I live in now, is a shipping container. A 10 by 20 hunk of space. And everything I am has to happen in that space. So you might understand that it's inconvenient for me to try to make space to even do an experiment. And to get all of those things organized and get all my life back to what, where I can... Well, even when I had my life, I'll admit, I'm not as organized a person as I need to be to have as many projects as I have. Now, as Steve might know, I'm an artist. I'm a lot of different things, and I'm doing a lot of different things. And, I'm just not a great candidate to do a really nice, clean experiment that clearly illustrates and is done well. I'm not the best candidate. I don't have a machine shop. I don't have the proper tools. I don't have a lot of things. Why should I do an experiment that's, frankly, physics should have done 100 years ago or 200 years ago? Again, the Young experiment was wrong 200 years ago, and it can be demonstrated to be wrong. They can't even do that. I mean, it's kind of silly. Again, why should I buy radar equipment when... 1,000 universities might already have it sitting in the storeroom. Why should I buy an air track when 30,000 universities have that sitting in the storeroom? What sense does it make? Oh, that's right. It doesn't make any sense. So, my argument is, and frankly, it's a huge distraction. Me sitting here filing a piece of metal so I can make it round enough to make a bearing out of it, or pulling bearings out of an old skateboard I found in the garbage. It's a little bit stupid for me to be wasting my time doing that. I mean, you could argue that Faraday could have done so much more if he didn't have to do half the experiments he was doing himself. That Newton could have done more, frankly, if he didn't have to sit there and polish a piece of glass. I just don't think it's the best use of my time, frankly, when I'm proposing a new theory that has to account for every single movement of every single object in the fucking universe. Especially when you require me to essentially build you a nice videotape of the whole process. But anyway. So I think it's a fair argument. I'm just saying I'm not Mr. Experimentalist. It's not the best use of my existence. And it's something their physics should have already produced. You should have evidence of MV squared before you propagandize for its existence. You should have an experiment that shows that it's true. All right. Those are his words. So again, my words have, obviously anybody who's watched my videos knows my words have been I've gone a lot further in describing why I'm not the best candidate for doing experiments. I don't want to do the experiment. It's inconvenient. So again, this is how he plays the game. Quote mine, quote mine the evidence, quote mine the arguments people made, quote mine the statements they've made. That's all he has. He can't deal with the fact that, guess what? That's really bad science, Steve. Know why you don't get the answers? Know why you can't find the answers? Know why your brain is dissident? That's why. It's because you don't know what the definition of the truth is and what a truth seeker should look like. They shouldn't look like a propagandist. You shouldn't look like a fanatic for your fans. You know, you're not a, you shouldn't be behaving like a groupie, a science groupie. Anyway. Look, John, all those, in all seriousness, I don't know anything about you, whether you are nice or horrible. So he goes into a whole spiel about, well, you're obviously just a depressed little sad person, and, you know, I've been depressed and sad, and I can imagine just how hard it is. Anyway. All right, so many people are lonely like you. I've been there myself, so I know what it's like. And then he has to sit there and include me like he knows something about my existence. And I imagine Gary would be the same if he didn't have his outlet of making a video a day. So this whole assumption that this is some sort of therapy, or that this is in any way a positive experience to my day, having to make these videos and having to make these arguments and say, God damn, how fucking stupid, dense, and retarded are you people? I mean, you're supposed to be intelligent, informed people. You're really not all that clueless. And yet I have to explain to you how levers don't give you any option. You can't believe what you are saying is true if you believe levers work. I mean, what do I actually have to show? The uneven pendulum oscillating perfectly, even though it has twice as much energy swinging on one side as it has swinging on the other side. And you think I enjoy the realization that you people are really so fucking caught up in your religion, you're such fanatic lunatics for your religion, that I will never be able to provide any logic or reasoning to bend you from your silly delusions. No, that's not any fun. That's not therapy. That's something I have to survive against. I have to survive in spite of this daily dose of dismal realization that none of you people have any intellectual integrity, that you can't ever think or speak a fucking truth, that everything is tainted by your fucking agenda. Ugh. So I don't want to make too big a deal of it, but you may be happier if you find channels that affect thousands of views within hours. So he's giving him advice. Oh, isn't that so nice? Please try yourself. Making negative, pointless comments all over the place is never likely to make you happy. Then why are you doing it, Steve? You make silly clown videos. And it does seem to make you happy. You're laughing in the videos, having fun, doing your little buffoony crap. You're pathetic. Okay. For all I know, you are in jail. Yeah, so he's just, you know, projecting. There are many good reasons that the flaw in the experiment... Oh, so here's the part that I wanted to read. Okay. I do actually have a very specific math problem I've not yet been able to resolve on my own. So he calls it a math problem, when what it is a concept problem. See, he wants to believe in the hooky pooky weeky booky booky booky, you know, the woo-woo of wavicles and kinetic fun living force energy. All right. But the experiments aren't showing it. And so he's disappointed. All right, I'm not sure there would be any point discussing it here and now as it relates to a particular set of air track experiments. So again, he's done them. This fucking weasel has done the fucking experiments, and yet he's not going to let us know the results, and he's going to keep harassing me to do the fucking experiments even though I don't have a fucking air track. You get how annoying this is? To be told by somebody I should do something he's already fucking goddamn done, and he just won't release the results. All right, anyway. that have so far not resulted in the outcome I expected. So we clearly know what experiments have been talked about. We know that these are the ones, and we'll look, and they're classic, frankly. So yeah, he banged one card into one card and said, oh yeah, when they're the same mass going the same velocity, that is, they have the same number of pockets to hold dollar bills, they can exchange it really quickly and easily, and it exchanges very well. But when the masses are different, the exchanges change, because yeah, the slow thing can't make a small thing go fast, and a fast thing can't make a big thing go fast. Yeah. Ooh, messy rules. All right. I've not resulted in the outcome I expected. So he's done the experiments. They came out how he didn't want them to, and they're basically going to prove his argument to be deficient, the argument he's fighting for in the war against the horrible draft science. And so because the results came out, ah, damn it, point for his side, he's not going to show it to you. All right. There may be good reason for that. So here he goes, right? So instead of saying there may be good reason for the fact that your experiments in the previous bout of experiments you exposed us all to, that there might be reasons that, you know, your results came out the way they did, like, oh yeah, the thing you were lifting was way too light and you basically went faster than the launching speed. So rather than raising objects, you were launching objects. Yeah, and that changes the rules. You know, then you're not fighting gravity anymore. You know, once you've launched the object, it doesn't have any gravitational impact anymore. It's not sitting in your hand anymore, so you don't have to push it anymore. Okay. A flaw in the experimental method. So he didn't consider any flaws in his earlier experimental methods. Like for example, capturing the energy of a moving car. So I suggested, like on a train, you know, a 5-ton train, a 10-ton train, I made the point that if they put a generator on it, and said, let's see how much energy each one generates. And that's a way of seeing if they have the same energy. I made the argument that the fast train is going to spin the generator faster. That's going to create more friction, more force against it because of the conflicting magnetic fields created inside the generator. So it will be slowed down quicker, but it will generate more electricity, especially more voltage, all right, over a short period of time. And the slow train, although it won't create a peak voltage, it will create a constant current, all right, and it'll travel further and in the end generate more electricity. I mean, more in the sense it'll be the same amount of electricity just over a longer period of time. It will eventually pass all of its dollar bills over the counter to the other side, and that they'll have the same energy. So his version of that experiment was to put some little silly generator on that makes a little LED light. And so you can see of this, the easy logical problem with that experiment is you're just going to be measuring peak voltage, not current, and certainly not wattage. And that's what you really want to do. You want to collect the energy in a battery or some other device that doesn't have a bias, so that you can collect all the energy, the low voltage energy, the high voltage energy, all the energy. But he didn't do that. Okay, and he certainly didn't concede that those experiments might have been flawed. But he's conceding this one might be flawed because the results didn't come out the way he wanted them to. You know, and this is his definition of being a good scientist. A good scientist holds back results that don't confirm their opinion, and they release results when it does confirm their opinion. That's what good science does. Obviously, sarcasm. I need to reserve my question, however. Let me see if there's anything I missed. There is good reason for that, a flaw in the experimental method, but just supposing the results were entirely valid, I want to know what the underlying math would be then, would then be. So, I mean, I don't even understand how he could possibly see how there's any third choice here. I mean, the whole thing is really an argument about the kinetic energy theory. There's just two mathematical formulations. I think the underlying answer would be, if it's not 1/2 mv squared, then it's going to be mv. I think he knows that. All right. So again, just with the, like he's hunting for a mathematical solution to tell him whether the experiment is done correctly. Well, that's not going to tell you. All right. Why don't you show Pyrrho the experiment? Why don't you give Pyrrho the experiment? Let Pyrrho give you his evaluation of what you did wrong. Why don't you do that? Pyrrho knows everything about mechanical objects. I mean, he's great at that stuff. I need to reserve my question, however, until I have published the relevant experiments, and he'll decide what's relevant. And he'll certainly not publish them in some sort of reasonable manner, like a person who has any respect for intelligence and knowledge that can be gleaned from such experiments. Instead, he will put clown shoes on the experiment. He'll paint a mustache on it. He'll do all kinds of silly baby nonsense. Ugh, it will be disgusting. I have been slowed down in that regard, yes, because, you know, you have to rent your Photoshop, I guess. Since my main hard drive failed, yes, before I had released anything, blah, 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 blah. So another excuse. Another good reason to, you could have at least published them on YouTube and had them as private videos, and you couldn't have even done that. Afraid they might get loose and people might actually see the truth. Failed before I had backed up the last month or so of work. So another excuse. Anyway, there is a lot of mathematics I have zero interest in. So he does that by his own discretion. So he concedes he's not a mathematical expert, but somehow he can know what math is important and what math isn't. Okay. In fact, most mathematics, I loathe it, the subject, for all manner of reasons. I think anybody rational and logical loathes subjects where they're playing puzzle games. I mean, nobody can look at Schrodinger's equation, you know, little forky thing times blah blah thing times blah 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 blah, and say, oh yeah, that's fun. No, it's not fun at all. It's just horse shit. Oh, it's the most beautiful equation in the universe. La 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 la. What? I mean, you know, these are people, you know, this is like some kind of blind date thing, you know? I mean, they're selling it like, oh yeah, she's really great. She's, oh, she has such a personality. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, sure, sure. Okay, but the mathematics as it applies to the laws of motion have become interesting to me. So again, there really isn't that much mathematics. They have made proclamations, F equals MA. Well, first you could look at that and say, what the fuck does that mean? Acceleration is a rate. What good is the rate without telling me how long the rate is being applied? Right? I mean, it's useless if I don't know how much rate there is. So again, this isn't about math. It's about dynamics. It's about mechanical dynamics. It's about your concept of the universe, Steve, and you know that's what it's about. I mean, you can understand mass velocity, and you can understand that, yeah, I really don't have any good reason to think, you know, slow heavy things have less energy than fast light things. I have just no reason to believe that. I almost have reason to believe the opposite, because if I drop the feather and I drop the hammer, and they fall at the same rate, when the hammer lands, it's going to have a lot more energy. The heavy thing is going to have a lot more energy than the light thing. All right. Let's see. It's become interesting to me so long as they are kept simple. I will never be interested in learning to the point that I could pass exams. I just won't bother watching such content. So he's basically pointing out that, okay, original cranky guy, you were right. Pyrrho's video is a boring pile of crap that most people can't possibly find an interest in it. And that, yes, it deserves rather low viewership. Now, in Pyrrho's case, this video will get viewed just because I just viewed it to read the comments. You know? So it's going to get some views just because it has comments on it. But yeah, nobody just floating around on the internet is going to be that intrigued, I don't think. Ah, shit. So here's Pro's response. Let's see. What I hear is that type of content you don't think anyone is interested in. It's the type of content you, he should put like you, like Steven, at the same time you are interested in it. Now somebody can watch your videos because they have some residual idea that you were somewhere in, at some point in your life relevant, and that you might even have made a logical point once in a while, and they're just waiting to see if you can do that trick again. You know, it's like sometimes a parrot will say something interesting and then you'll just keep going back to the parrot because you think it's going to say it again because it was interesting or funny, but he never says it again. You're a one-trick pony, okay? You might have had one moment where you were meaningful and relevant, and that's all you're riding on, is that you had that one moment. Do you get anything positive about you being interested in it? I don't know, so I do not assume what people thinking that about interest, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, the point is the video was just crap, okay? It wasn't even suitable for grammar school students, even though the content wasn't above their level. You wouldn't even show it to a kid because it's just going to fuck up their brain because he did it so poorly. He took simple concepts and turned them into rubbish. So anyway, I don't think there's any point in any other brozo here. I retract my statement in which I brought you up as an example. Then I don't know where that involved with that versed in math. Well, anyway, your characterization of me in the most part accurate. Oh, okay, so this is the other guy talking to Steve and saying, okay, I get it, Steve. Yeah, I am a troll, but I like it. So it doesn't make sense. Anyway. Oh, he empathizes with his predicament. Yeah. It's okay. You can just get on the internet and talk shit and distract conversation because you're sad and troubled. So it's okay. Go ahead, make a mess. Yeah. You're mad, so you go out and key people's cars. Oh, I totally understand. Oh, fuck you. Yeah, fine. Damage yourself. Don't damage the functionality of the internet because you're having a bad day. Fuck that shit. All right, anyway. So I think that's enough. Yeah. I'm pretty damn sure there's nothing else to be gained. I think Steven did have a comment I heard from somebody else that he said something about... you know, that he's taught me some truth or something. And so, you know, I just say that Steve has been useful, you know, in terms of, yeah, I had some things wrong, but they were, again, some of them I caught in 6 hours. And then he just keeps, you know, saying it's great that everybody play that video that I took down, the one video I did take down, because that was just so wrong. But I was wrong for 6 hours. 6 hours. All right, and he won't let it go. Because I was wrong about one thing for 6 hours, therefore everything I'm saying is wrong. So that's the crap he's trying to pull. So because, yeah, I didn't realize that the little nodes and the double slip wouldn't be all the same size, that there was in fact a difference between this and this, okay? If you're viewing it from the top down, this is a little different than this. You know, in terms of how big, how much motion you have to create a node. So the nodes are bigger the further out you go, and they get smaller and smaller and smaller as you go towards the center. It's a trivial detail, frankly. Okay, fine, thank you. All right, it's helpful to know the truth. So it's good that you found that that doesn't work because you did the string thing that I suggested would give you that answer. And that's the way it came out. So, yeah, it worked. So what I argued worked. It showed this, you know, it revealed that truth. And somehow you want what for that? And again, how much of a, what percent of all the arguments made on the double slit experiment is this? You know, it's what percentage? You think this is 50% of the argument? No, it's this. It's a little tiny, tiny shred of the argument. And it's such a minor defect. It's like saying, it's, you know, it's like describing a car and then saying it has five wheels instead of four wheels. Well, that doesn't change the concept of the car at all. The ideas about how it rolls and how it moves and all, it doesn't change much. You know, it's like saying it has bumpers, doesn't have bumpers. I mean, it's just not really all that important, Steve. Your contribution has not been critically important to any part of the, of the overall description. Just like your silly defense of Madame Chatelet is so trivially inept and retarded. Because it wasn't good science. It was exactly the opposite of what good scientists do. And here you defend that really bad science. Instead of just fessing up that, yes, it would be better if they did real science and they had real scientific arguments where they actually did honestly try the facts to honestly reveal the truth. And here you are defending a process that overtly was antagonistic to the truth. Which makes, again, you pathetic. You are pathetic. All right. In how you disregard the truth and the process required to get there. You are antagonistic to it. You are not a complement to it. You are not on the true side. Okay. So, I guess that's enough of a video now. I'll say so. Yes. And I didn't have to draw anything. Cool. It means I didn't have to erase anything. Very cool. All right. So, till the next time and such, and so forth and whatnot. I guess we'll just say this has been a DraftPhysics.com video presentation. Till the next time and such.